A tea. Oh, ladies. A tea. In this way. Tam. Him. Prahlad Maharaj. Vidya upasaya. By various means. Pasiyan. Threatening. Tarjana. Adibhir. By chastisement. Threats. Etc. Priyadadam. Unto Prahlad Maharaj. Grahayam asa. Taught. Tree. Vargasya. The three goals of life. The paths of religion, economic development, sense gratification. Sorry. Upayaparadhyanam. Scripture that presents. Translation and purport by Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sandanamarka, the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, chastise and threaten their disciple in various ways and began teaching him about the paths of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. This is the way they educated him. Please repeat. Sandanamarka, the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, chastised and threatened their disciple in various ways and began teaching him about the paths of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. This is the way they educated him. Purport. In this verse, the words Prahladam, Grahayam, Asa are important. The words Grahayam, Asa literally means that they try to induce Prahlad Maharaj to accept the paths of Dharma, Artha, and Kama, religion, economic development, and sense gratification. People are generally preoccupied with these three concerns without interest in the path of liberation. Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad Maharaj, was simply interested in gold and sense enjoyment. The word Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu refers to soft cushions and bedding on which people enjoy sense gratification. The word Prahlad, however, refers to one who is always joyful in understanding Brahma, Brahma-Bhuta, Prasanatma. Prahlad means Prasanatma, always joyful. Prahlad was always joyful in worshiping the Lord. But in accordance with the instructions of Hiranyakashipu, the teachers were interested in teaching him about material things. Materialistic people, persons, think that the path of religion is meant for improving their material conditions. The materialist goes to a temple to worship many varieties of demigods just to receive some benediction to improve his material life. He goes to a sadhu, or so-called swami, to take advantage of an easy method of achieving material opulence. In the name of religion, the so-called sadhus try to satisfy the senses of materialists by showing their shortcuts in material opulence. Sometimes they give some talisman or blessing. Sometimes they attract materialistic persons by producing gold. Then they declare themselves God. And foolish materialists are attracted to them for economic development. As a result of the process of cheating, others are reluctant to accept a religious process. And instead they advise people in general to work for material advancement. This is going on all over the world, not only now, but since time immemorial. No one is interested in moksha liberation. There are four principles: dharma, religion, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, and moksha, liberation. People accept religion to become materially opulent. And why should one be materially opulent? For sense gratification. Thus, people prefer the three margas, the three paths of materialistic life. No one is interested in liberation. In the Bhagavad Bhakti, economic devotional service, the Lord is above even liberation. Therefore, the process of devotional service Krishna consciousness is extremely difficult to understand. This will be explained later by Prahlad Maharaj. The teachers Sanda and Amarka tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to accept the materialistic way of life, but actually their attempt was a failure. Some interesting points about the talisman. And Srila Prabhupada at one point was asked about this, about the talismans, about necklaces and kavachas. And do you know the response, what Prabhupada said? Anybody know? He says, you go into the temple, all your karma changes, your lines can change in your hand. You don't need the necklace, the kavachas, and all the ornamentation, the gold. And about the gold production, it was about this prophet called Rakshasa, because of that hairdo, and you know who I'm talking about. And so Prabhupada gave a very clear definition. If he's a representative of God, he should be beautiful. He claims to be God, so how can a Rakshasa be God? But he had tricks that have been proven that. He had up his sleeve, he had the long sleeves, and he could drop gold into his hands, and Vibhuti, he could produce different ashes and gold. And so what's the point? In Prahlad's dilemma, imagine Prahlad in the womb, listening and giving the whole dissertation and understanding from the womb. I mean, imagine that. I mean, anybody in the womb is suffering from the biting of the insects and all the bugs and whatever else is in the womb. But it's not a healthy place. And so when they're forcing him to learn about these different things, about sense gratification, this is none different than what's going on in the world. And so if you know about education, the system that's promoted around the world, it's based on syllabuses by the government. So religion means exactly as Prabhupada described here, a stepping stone to material opulence, enjoyment, sense gratification. So I've been the last 5 months in America, and I can tell you, it's shambles, that the whole thing going on now is just a devastation. Now they're putting a new leader up. Prabhupada says no woman should be a leader in any nation, and that was Indira Gandhi's time. And so he caught some flack for that, but he did get to meet her, and it was a short exchange, because she was about to be assassinated then. And so probably on the other side, you got a revolutionary, and so who knows what's going to happen in terms of politics. In any case, when it comes down to the line, when you're learning a system, if you go to school, ultimately you're subjected to a whole line of math. And Prabhupada in the Gurukula system reduced it all so that you know how to read and write. You know the basics, but the whole main subject matter is Krishna consciousness. And so our schools are sometimes leaning in the direction of going with the syllabus of the material, the government acknowledgement. In any case, two more points. When Prahlad Maharaj was going to school, Hiranyakashipu asked him what's the best thing he learned. So here comes a whole tirade of wonderful explanations of devotional service. And so he was listening in the womb, and he spells it out. And his father doesn't expect this. And we know the story, that he throws him off his lap. He threatens to kill him, tries so many ways to kill him. I just did a whole series of drawings for the TOVP around Lord Srinidhev's altar about the different pastimes of this whole event that takes place. And Prahlad is thrown off the lap, the tortures, ultimately he surpasses everything and becomes a great sage. As we know, Prahlad goes on to be a great sage, and still Prahlad Maharaj is now big, not a baby anymore. So I got a few things I wanted to go over. In this modern there's what the teaching that was being given to blood was something that Machiavelli comes up with later in the Renaissance, and it's a five-point process. Either you praise, promote, and give up this nice post with a lot of, you know, good income for a person who's detrimental to your cause. If that doesn't work, you divide and you go into his camp and make a division, make sides go against each other. Now, what's the famous opportunity for that? With the British, what they did with India. It was very carefully planned. The division, the way they drew the line across the whole continent, and giving, you know, Muslims on one side and the Hindus on the other, they knew this would last forever. This dissension is still to this very day. Lahore was given to the Muslims, and millions died on the, as they were crossing, going back and forth. I have a lot of friends who had to leave, left their ancestral home, and just left everything and had nothing left. And they just, with their, even no shoes, because they were putting money in the shoes also. So inside the womb, Prahlad Maharaj is talking about the topmost thing that he heard was Shravanakirtanam. So hearing and chanting is ultimately the topmost and precedes the whole beginnings. The whole business of devotional life is based on that. Then he gets into the whole deal. And then there's nine processes of devotional service that he enunciates. You know, in America, I finally met an atheist, and I've been wanting that for many years. I finally found a guy who didn't believe in God. And so I just tore him apart. Easily that they have no basis for what they say. They look at the Bible and they find discrepancies, and they look at and they see things are not right. And so from there in, then they claim that there is no God, or why can there be so many problems, and why is there such bad things happening to sweet, wonderful, innocent babies. So, you know, I just tore them apart. But there's a difference between an agnostic and an atheist. An atheist flatly doesn't believe in God. Agnostic puts qualifications. He has no, like Prabhupada described, he has no arms, no legs, he can't hear, he doesn't have the senses. Now, and then there's five basic things that he brought out in Smaranam. First, in remembering, you got to research into the worship, and you begin your concentration meditation. And so that goes through different levels until you're permanently meditating and you're in samadhi, in trance. Now, being we're in Rath Yatra Festival, I thought two ways to approach glorifying Lord Jagannath. One is through Lord Chaitanya, and one is through Jagannath, through Jayananda, my old friend. So I'll be giving a little bit on both sides. First, some nuggets, some really sweet things that I picked up on. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling, he'd go from Jagannath Puri and he'd travel all over the continent. And so he'd go to Benares, that's 800 miles away. And so he's going 800 miles on foot and 800 miles back. And so his trips on the continent were really long and strenuous, so that he was making real, I mean, he changed the course of humanity, of course, but it all began with those trips as he went all around. And he's in the whole episode of Lord Jagannath and the whole measure that goes to the Kukshetra relationship is that to go deep into that, what the feelings were that Lord Chaitanya had with Lord Jagannath. And so it just refers back to what the Radha Rani was saying when she saw Krishna at Kukshetra. And so that feeling, that separation, and Lord Chaitanya is banging his head in Gambira, and still, I mean, just he never talked about seeing God. On different occasions, Lord Chaitanya did see Krishna, but then he'd be gone. And so, where is my Krishna gone? But he never talked about that. He always talked about separation. And so, that's what we, as aspiring devotees, should also follow. That mood of separation and hunger to get that lotus feet of the Lord. So he exemplified that. I mean, he'd be lost some days, just completely gone. Some days external, he would be in external consciousness, and some days partial, some days gone. So I don't know if we can do that, but that's ultimately the aim, is that we can at some point lose consciousness and go deep into the loving affairs of the Lord. Here's a little innuendo that Lord Chaitanya is leaving Jagannath Temple, and he's got Ramananda Roy and Srip Damodar on either side and holding him up. He was saying, he's quoting this, "Through the hearts of the gopis are like high-standing hills. They are inundated by the waves of the nectarian ocean of Krishna's beauty. His sweet voice enters their ears, and they give transcendental bliss. The touch of his body is cooler than millions and millions of moons together. And the nectar of his bodily fragrance overfloods the entire world. Oh, my dear friend, that Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj, and whose lips are exactly like nectar, is attracting my five senses by force." And Lord Chaitanya's, all his senses are being attracted. And so, all simultaneously. So if you have your nose, your ears, your eyes, your lips, everything being attracted at once, it's a total inundation. Then in his wanderings, there's episodes where he's in a flower garden by the ocean, and he's looking for Krishna at Vrindavan, and he sees deer. The deer is standing, they don't respond. He thinks they're in a static trance. He sees the flowers, and he's talking to everything he sees. Then he finally sees Lord Krishna, and he loses it. He's unconscious. Then when he wakes up, he comes back to the senses, where is my Krishna gone? Now, shifting through the ages, now, my close friend was Jayananda. And so in order to approach Jagannath, I thought better to go through the eyes of Jayananda, because the detail of the depth of his understanding of Lord Jagannath unparalleled. Okay, so in the beginning, we know some of the stories about putting up the canopy in New York for the 76 Rath Yatra, and this thing snapped and broke. But there's a lot of stories that go around that whole episode of making that first cart. And he would get bums and bring people into the workforce, and anybody who could work for even a moment was entitled to contribute. And so one time the guy was upset about there was no prasadam available. So Jayananda takes up a grease, this black petroleum jelly, what you grease the motors with, you know, and he took a slug of that. He says, "That's Maha, it's coming, it's being used on Jagannath's car, so now it's good, it's Maha." And so he says he could eat like ferociously. Jayananda was famous for his unbelievable stories. There's one story, they're on their way to a prison, and so they had this devotee cook up a whole bunch of Simply Wonderfuls and Globjamins. It was Dhanavir. And so he says, "Hey, Dhanavir, let's sample some of the stuff you cooked." And so they started sampling the Globjamins and pretty soon the sweet balls. And by the time they got to the prison guard, it was all gone. They ate everything that was in their collection. And so the guard says, I hope you don't have any food in here. You can't take it in. And so it was a whole play. I mean, that was Jayananda with food. Wherever you go, he'd give people pies, cakes, and offer it in donations. And so my experience with Jayananda comes a little later. And he came to L.A., and he had leukemia, and there was bumps on his body, and he was dying. He didn't want anybody to know about it. So in the course of his suffering, he went to Tijuana to try to get a cure. And there it didn't work, and so he ended up coming back to L.A. And so I was living right next door to him. And so one episode, he comes out in a wheelchair. He can't walk anymore. And he goes to the temple, and he's sitting in front of Jagannath, swaying back and forth, sitting on the floor. And the mood of his attraction and attachment to Jagannath was so strong. Then he led Guru Puja one day, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Everybody was crying just to hear him talk. So that was Jayananda. And then on another occasion, his birthday came up. And so we had a big cart going. And so it was a new kind of a structure. It was composed of members that could detach. So in other words, this cart could be assembled, reassembled, and broken down and taken on a lorry and taken to different places around America. So in the midst of that, he comes over in his wheelchair expecting to inspect the carts. But instead we had a birthday cake with a Rath Yatra cake. And so he came, sat in his chair and started talking about Jagannath. Then he got up. Now he couldn't walk, he couldn't stand, but he got up and he started enunciating the glories of Lord Jagannath. And right behind him are his mother and father. And they're crying, they're just seeing their beloved son now crumbling with leukemia and still having the force and the insight to talk and glorify Lord Jagannath. So we had a meeting, and in that meeting, I was asked by him to make another change of body display, because he was talking about making a festival from the temple to the ocean, to make another Rath Yatra in L.A. So he was calling up his friends, getting money, doing it, and he was doing the whole thing. And so in the meeting, I was supposed to make another samsara changing body display, because we had this famous photographer, Edie Adams, who said, you make this again, because in the museum was too close. I did a small model, I did two big ones. And so in order to do the big one, I had to do it all over again. So he said, you'll do that, won't you? So when Jayananda asked you to do something, it was like, you can't say no. So I did it again. It was made into a famous photograph, on top of the mountain. It was seen all over the world, famous photography magazine and annual photography in that year. So as time went on, his condition worsened. And so when he was in his room, there's only one person in the room, as far as I know. And so he had a temperament of being so humble that in the hospital before that, he wasn't lying on a bed, he was lying on the floor. And he had Prabhupada on the bed. But now he was at a point in life where it was just moments to go. And so he's listening to Prabhupada on tape. And the last words that came out of his mouth is, Hare Krishna, and he's gone. And then in comes the garland of Lord Jagannath, just that fast. It just came in just as he left. And so, if you know about Prabhupada's departure, the same thing happened. Prabhupada, in the very end, it was just Hare Krishna, and gone. So, these great devotees are to be they're exemplary and to be followed in any way we can in terms of our devotional service. There's some other episodes. During the Rath Yatra Festival in 76, there was a guy with a loudspeaker and he was chastising Prabhupada and the movement, saying all dirty names. And somebody poured water and it, you know, shut him up. And there was another guy down at Washington Square Park, and he was doing the same thing, big guy. And so this big black guy came along and just boom, and knocked him right into a big fountain in water. And Prabhupada was watching this, nice. Then the Black Panthers started to make trouble. One of the Rothkarts, that was in 75. And so one devotee, Keshava, saw that there was a problem. There was one black devotee, two little boys wanted to get up on a cart, they're black, and they weren't allowed. So they called their parents, who were Black Panthers. And so they came along and they were making trouble for one of the black devotees. And he was starting to bang on the guy and started to beat him. And so all of a sudden, Keshava heard about it. He says, come on, let's go. Let's take care of this. So it ended up he was all by himself, throwing these guys off one by one. And ultimately, the parade went on. But then it stopped all of a sudden. Prabhupada got off the cart, went into the forest. There's a little forest along the way. And relieved himself, got back on the cart, and it went on. But as it was going down, on Jagannath's cart, Prabhupada said, don't change the mechanism of the wheels. He had these big wooden wheels, solid. But they did, and they changed it. And what happened, it flattened between the spokes. So instead of round, it was like hexagonal. And so when it came down, it was going boom, 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 as it looked like it was walking. And so I thought, when I saw it, I thought, my God, that's wonderful. Who would design a cart that would walk like that instead of roll? But it got shaken so bad, by the time it got to the Golden Gate Park, it just literally collapsed. And so, the stories of Lord Jagannath go closely to his understanding. Jayananda was so amazing as a personality. One time he's with another friend, Maheshwar, and they were in the kitchen in New York cleaning. And so all of a sudden he disappeared. It ended up he was in the kitchen, in the oven, the big ovens. He got right inside, was tearing all apart, cleaning it. He was an engineer. And so he's the personification of devotional service. He's normally under a car, you know, fixing the cars in San Francisco. And so they would come up, he would be preaching from under the car, and they're asking for, who's the temple president? He says, I am. He says, well, I have to do this. I mean, it's absolutely required to get these cars running. So he took the position of the most humble servant. And then there was an opportunity that happened. This is 76 again, and there was a Indian kind of a clubhouse, you know, a place where all the Indians congregated. So they invited us for a big lunch. And during that time, Prabhupada was up on stage starting to give a class. So devotees in the front, women behind, and men in the back. And there was so much noise in the place, in the theater, you couldn't hear anything. The women were screaming at each other, kids running around out of control. And in the back, men were screaming and talking and carrying on a conversation. And Jayananda was in the kitchen working. And so Prabhupada was calling for the Indians not to lose their heritage, that ultimately you're born in the most pious birth that you can have on this planet. Don't lose that. Don't be caught up by the dollar bill. And so as soon as he said that, the chief of the group came up with a garland of dollar bills and garland Prabhupada with dollar bills. And so from his eyes, tears were shooting out, you know, like bathing the front line of devotees. And I understood that that's why Prabhupada came to America, because he wasn't getting any facility in India. And then later he was calling for Jayananda. He always called for Jayananda. And that love between the two, when you saw the two of them together, there was such a loving exchange that it was so heartwarming to see how Prabhupada respected and loved Jayananda. And the two of them together was a most amazing combination. So That's a Jayananda story. It all ties in with Lord Jagannath from Lord Chaitanya's time, Jayananda's time. So for our aspiration and our interest in devotional life, we should be aspiring for that feeling that Jayananda had. But even more with Lord Chaitanya, his feeling of separation. So if we have that feeling, if it goes deep enough, ultimately samadhi is available for all of us. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Anybody disagree? You got any atheists in the room? What about you? Yeah, go ahead. I'll take the phone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. I want to just inquire how Prabhupada introduced Rath Yatra in the Western countries. First.
I'll say it again.
How introduced Rath Yatra in Western countries?
How did Prabhupada...
How he started.
Oh, that's a good subject. Of course, it started here in Calcutta, you know, as a baby. But in San Francisco, the first Rath cart was a truck with a flatbed behind it. And so Prabhupada saw that. He made a little drawing. He gave it to Shyamasundar. He says, can you build this? And so he had already was making the Jagannath deity. Because Malati came with the small ones that she stole out of this special store in San Francisco. With their whole barrels full of these Jagannath deities. In any case, when Prabhupada saw that, he paid his obeisances right away, Lord Jagannath. And so then he asked Shyamasundar to make a big one. So he's carving away, and he got his pack of cigarettes on top of Lord Jagannath. You know, he didn't know what he was doing, really. He's just carving away. And so finally he did it, and Prabhupada came and saw it. He said, take the cigarettes away, come on. And so they made it, and then they put together the first Rath cart. And that was just a combination of, you know, a bunch of pillars and making a canopy on top of this flatbed. It was given by the diggers, a big beatnik group in San Francisco. So, I mean, that was the beginning of Rath Yatra in America, and it's still going on in San Francisco. It's become an annual event. The whole city recognizes that day as Rath Yatra Day. So that's the beginning. And so now we have, I mean, last night, everybody was in the parade last night? How many were in the parade? Not everybody. It was raining, pouring down, and so loud, I didn't go either. But it was wonderful. So Jagannath's mercy is just available right straight downstairs. So we should all go downstairs, pay our obeisances, and take that mercy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any more questions? We close. Okay, that's it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tears come out of his eyes.
Is that shooting?
Yeah, it's shooting out like that, you know. Amazing, huh?
Like, we see lots of past tense also.